This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
With over 8 million retail customers spread across 14 countries, CIMB Group is the country's second largest financial services group and one of Southeast Asia's largest universal banking groups. Here to tell us how CIMB plans to reach the ASEAN market consumers and beyond is Samir Gupta, CIMB's consumer banking CEO. Welcome to The Grill, Samir.
Thanks, Ibrahim.
Now, if you have any questions for Samir or CIMB Group, you can text us at 016-201-9000 or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. So, Samir, you have had over three decades of banking history behind you. The challenges that you have to navigate includes this new notion of digitalization and also fintech. Let's deep dive on both of them right now. Is CIMB ready for the fintech revolution? And if so, what are the areas that you're looking at, particularly for the consumer banking space?
I think digital is pretty much the story, not just in banking, but across many, many industries. Banking, perhaps we are kind of catching up across the industries, but things are changing really, really fast now. Customers are becoming more and more demanding. As far as customers are concerned, they want everything to be done on the mobile phone. They want to be informed 24/7. And the third piece, which is a really important piece, which is coming up with increasing analytics, customers are looking for personalized products and products which are very contextual for them rather than just a digital delivery. Fourth piece, which is really important, is the instant and real time. So customers want everything done in an easy way without having to step into the branches. So I think what's digital and analytics going hand in hand, we are finding that the banking industry is moving away from just delivering and making products available digitally to something which is gratifying for the customers, which is relevant, which is contextual. And this change is happening really, really fast.
Do you think that the banking industry is basically challenged because of the fact that these institutions can lend to consumers out there, taking away the business from the banks?
I wouldn't even use the word challenged. I find that the banking industry is relishing or should relish this fintech opportunity. And the reason for that is this allows us to be part of the fintech revolution, partner them, and make products available to customers which are very relevant for them and in ways which are very different to what banking used to be. So basically, I think fintech, when all the dust is settled, will be a partner to banking industry rather than competition.
This morning, I'm speaking with Samir Gupta, CEO of CIMB Group Consumer Banking. Samir, your responsibility involves the entire gamut of the consumer banking space, regardless of the region and country that you operate in. What is the integration level of the consumer banking proposition between the countries that CIMB is in, particularly in the core countries, Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand? Is the integration there quite seamless in terms of connecting the services for the consumers?
Yes, I think particularly so in the field of consumer banking. A lot of integration which is happening is regarding best practices. What we don't want to do as CIMB is to have everything centralized and very regimented. You want to have the consumers being given products which are relevant for each market. But having said that, there are broad themes which kind of cut across the markets. So what we got is a lot of best practices sharing, especially in the area of digital delivery, in the area of analytics, in the area of pricing techniques. A lot of, in fact, standardization when it comes to risk management, scorecard developments. There is also a fair amount of standardization of systems, which allows us to move and make changes across the markets with much more greater speed. What we do basically is pick up the best practices across the countries. And if we like what we see, we just implement it across the countries, allowing for about a 90-10 rule with about 10% customization happening. But about 90% of what customers want is pretty much standardized across the market.
Okay, so you touched on a variety of issues. I just want to zoom in on a few. Number one, when you talk about digitization, analytics, and also high customization for the customers, and with this integration question that I just asked, do you foresee an environment where, you know, a customer in Thailand can apply for a loan in Indonesia and the loan is to be disbursed in ringgit for a property in Malaysia? Do you see that kind of seamless integration in terms of ASEAN connectivity?
I think technically it's doable. From a banking practices, it's doable. But one needs to just keep in mind the regulatory requirements. We operate in each country respecting the laws of the country. So, for example, if a foreigner can get a loan in another country to buy real estate, again, there are different laws having restrictions on that. Then as a bank, we are ready to step in. But that is one area where I think there are still some room to go as far as regulations are concerned.
Because this is basically transplanting traditional banking to just fintech as well, because all the countries within ASEAN has different starting positions. Singapore arguably could be faster than other countries. Malaysia already has some laws, but other countries in ASEAN, they don't even have laws to regulate the many different facets of the banking industry. Do you see ASEAN getting their act together, just so to speak, in terms of making sure everyone is on the same playing field and that fintech revolution, and not just fintech, this banking revolution can just take place seamlessly across the markets?
I think there is increasingly more coordination amongst regulators, not just across ASEAN, but across several other markets. What we are finding is there is a desire amongst regulators to engage with the banks and starting to embrace fintechs. They started off in Singapore, Malaysia's got its own sandbox. Again, Indonesia, there's increasing amount of coordination with the banks. And what we are finding is if it is kind of worked out in one market from a regulatory approval standpoint, we are finding regulators wanting to engage banks and having a discussion. Now, the speeds of with which different regulators will move will vary, but that shouldn't stop us to all land in the same spot sooner than later. There is increasing amount of desire amongst the regulators to be seen as progressing the banking industry towards greater convenience, using technology, greater digitization, as you said. And this means embracing new ways of doing KYC, there's new ways of allowing payment products to be made available.
Now, we're going to a break, but just to touch a little bit on that KYC notion that you mentioned. KYC, of course, means know your customer, or a little bit of due diligence done on your customer. Do you think that the level of governance in this country and in ASEAN countries in general is up to mark in terms of managing the proper safeguard, particularly on the public interest, but also on the bank's interest as well? Do you think that the regulations and regulatory approvals in these part of the world meets that standard of globalization?
I think in terms of regulatory allowances, if I may use a word, there are different levels of acceptance among different countries. Having said that, I think the desire of regulators across ASEAN is the same as it is across the world, which is to know your customer, make sure that we don't have wrong customers using the banking industry for their own means. Having said that, what we are finding is we have launched a product in Singapore where we could open an account where we were relying on another bank doing the KYC. So once a customer was part of the banking system, other banks could use each other to do KYC. In Malaysia, we have allowed the biometric thumbprints to be used as a digital signature. In Indonesia, we are working with the regulators to come up with a different way of doing KYC. But I think what we are going to find is increasingly regulators opening up and catching up with the rest of the world. For example, facial recognition has just been allowed in UK, and another bank has launched it. We are also looking at going down that particular route. So there are different ways by which banks will be allowed to do their KYC norms to approve customers. And that is, I think, important from a digital standpoint without forcing the customer to come to the branch, if we can open an account with great convenience to the customer. Now, clearly, the onus is on banks to make sure that those methods are not foolproof and they don't lead to
abuse,
or any wrong customer coming and opening an account with the bank. It's really exciting the kind of world fintech is opening up. We could be living in a very different world of banking just a few years from now. So it's not going to take a long time. It's not even medium term. But I think in the short term, in the next 2-3 years, we could see very dramatic changes. A lot will depend on how much the regulators to allow the banks to banking industry to change. But I think the opportunities are huge, the kind of opportunities that digital fintechs is going to open up in the future.
This morning, I'm with Samir Gupta, the CEO of Consumer Banking of CIMB Group. Up next, we'll be talking a little bit more on the regulators' side, as well as the macroeconomic conditions affecting the country's financial landscape. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 this morning, I'm with Samir Gupta. He is the CEO of Consumer Banking of CIMB Group. He's on the breakfast grill joining me this morning. Samir, just continuing our discussion on the regulators and how open they can be. In Singapore, DBS is addressing their loan growth question by partnering with a company called Funding Society, where SME customers that do not meet the requirements of DBS is hived off and given to this P2P lending company called Funding Society. And they ride on the infrastructure of DBS and they lend out the loans to these SME customers. They source for fund from the public through peer-to-peer lending process. Now, this is approved by the MAS. It has helped everyone. It has helped the SMEs, the consumers. It has helped the Funding Society, the startup. And it has helped DBS in trying to manage their risk profile. Do you see this collaboration taking shape in this country, in Malaysia, and also in other countries in ASEAN?
I think at this stage with peer-to-peer lending, I think there will be increasing amount of prevalence of this particular kind of lending. So there will be greater partnerships to be made with different companies, different third parties, which will allow us to reach out to customers who may today not be able to get banking services. But I think these are still a little early days here in Malaysia. But we are looking at working with the regulators. We will be having conversations with them and working towards it.
RHB revised downwards their loan growth target from a lofty 9 to 10% or 8 to 9%. They're now thinking about 4 to 5% loan growth. CIMB, your firm, has also revised downwards your loan growth targets. Are we seeing a slowdown, not just in the global economic landscape, but also ASEAN landscape in terms of economic growth, where you guys can't grow your loans in a manner that was growing previously?
I think in terms of growth, clearly there is it's going to be lower than what was originally anticipated. We are finding that in some segments, growth has been slower. We have found that auto loans in Malaysia, the loan growth has been slower than last year. Mortgages, again, the sales have been a little off what it was, let's say, last 2-3 years. Having said that, we are still able to grow, but it's definitely coming off the pace. I would say this is a lower growth than what it used to be. A lot will depend on how banks are able to provide a better service to customers to gain market share. But industry-wide, I think there has been a little slowdown. And we need to see how things are going to be in the future.
In industry-wide, I was noticing a high rise in deposits. RHB saw the deposits, not just for the consumer actually, just the entire group, rise by about 20-25%. I'm not too sure about CIMB's deposit holdings, but do you think that these companies, any the whole spectrum from retail to SMEs to corporate customers, they're holding on to cash rather than investing them?
No, I would say that the increase in deposits has been largely for the industry. If you look at current account, savings account, the growth has been very minimal. It's all been about 1% to 2%. A lot of deposit growth that has come about has been the area of fixed deposits. So I wouldn't say that people are holding back just to place it in deposits, but there has been a fair amount of prudence because everybody is just being careful about how the macroeconomic environment plays out. Over the last couple of years, with the commodity prices coming down, people have become more cautious And that's kind of just playing out right now.
Contribution of PBT, or profit before tax, for CIMB, both by country as well as by segment. Consumer banking is the biggest contributor, up 18% from the previous year. And if you look at other segments within CIMB Bank, wholesale banking, commercial banking, they're all not growing as fast as consumer banking. Is there a clear indication by CIMB Group to actually advance the consumer banking segment more than other segments?
I think we would like to grow all segments. But having said that, I think consumer opportunity in ASEAN, given the size of the ASEAN population, is clearly big. And we are continuing to work across various markets. So without de-emphasizing any other segments, it's clearly a big opportunity. Working on the right areas. We are working on various long-term infrastructural issues within the consumer banking. And I think those factors are leading to results that we are seeing.
Okay, so let's talk about the new markets that CIMB is planning to enter. Vietnam is one of the clearest markets that you have signaled to enter. And there's also a press statement saying that there is a need to grow up some presence, particularly in the consumer banking space, in Philippines. Do you think that these markets are the next big thing other than the core markets that you operate currently?
Yes. Vietnam, we just got the license earlier this month, and we will be starting operations end of the year.
This is commercial banking operations?
Commercial banking operations by end of the year. And over the next 2 to 3 years, we will be focusing increasingly on Vietnam, a very exciting market with a large consumer population. Clearly, the focus there is going to be more on light branch, digital-heavy penetration. It's a very interesting market. There's a large number of customers with very heavy mobile usage, and the regulators are quite engaging in terms of what they're going to allow banks to do. So to that extent, we are very excited about Vietnam. The other market is Philippines, clearly a major market in ASEAN. We hope to enter Philippines next year, which again will be very largely a consumer play. We are looking at partnerships to tie up with some local players. Again, this is still early days, but it's going to be light branch, digital heavy targeting of customers.
Now, this seems to me that there is going to be a very heavy service-oriented proposition to the customers. I don't know whether there is a market for loan growth, particularly if you want to grow assets in these markets, Vietnam, Philippines, and perhaps even Cambodia. Do you think there is an opportunity for you to actually grow your asset base from these countries?
No, there is. Clearly, there is, given the Cambodia, Vietnam, and Philippines. But one needs to use data, analytics, third-party partnerships to be able to jumpstart your consumer loan growth. Organic growth, given the kind of absence of bureau in some of these markets, makes it a lot more difficult. Having said that, in a world where data and digital going hand in hand, there's clearly a market. Now, one needs to be a bit careful about what kind of loan growth one is talking about. In some of these markets like Cambodia and Vietnam, we are looking at more selective entries in the mortgage area, largely given the legal infrastructure that exists there in those markets. But there is. There's a young population, very digitally inclined population. The economies are doing relatively well. They'll go down the route that ASEAN markets like Malaysia and Indonesia went down about 20 years ago. So clearly there is a market for loan growth.
So this question is applicable for not just these markets, these nascent markets like Cambodia, Philippines, and Vietnam, but also your core markets in Malaysia, Indonesia, Singapore, and Thailand. Your role covers not just individuals, but also business banking segment. And some of them are enterprises, sole props, SMEs. And they don't cross over to commercial banking segment just yet, but they're within that small, sole prop level.
Right.
Do you think that business banking loan growth, i.e. Loans for growing businesses, is the focus of CIMB Group's asset growing strategy?
Clearly there is, in the sense that we are focusing not just on consumer, but also on sole proprietors. A lot of sole proprietors don't get the level of credit facilities, which they should. Companies feel very comfortable dealing with large corporates or commercials or dealing with individual consumers. But sole proprietors, I think, given the, again, I go back to the digital business banking opportunity that exists out there, to move these customers into the fray of banking, business banking. So yes, that's one area that we'll definitely be looking at.
When you mentioned that third-party collaboration takes place, it's not just for the providing of services to your existing customers, but also third-party collaboration in terms of equity partnership with fintech companies, perhaps.
We are already doing it. I'm afraid I won't be able to give you the names, but we are looking at direct investment in selective fintechs. We need to be very, very careful. A lot of the fintechs won't make it. There will be only a minority of fintechs who are going to really make it and be very successful.
Banks are risk averse. In fact, they don't like change that much. Because of the fintech revolution and also the digital revolution, banks, just like CIMB, have to go against the grain of their DNA and reinvent themselves. Do you think that banks are ready for this challenge?
Yes. I won't say that we are risk averse. It's just that fintechs have allowed us to look at risk in a different way, as opposed to the way the bankers were traditionally looking at. A lot of this has to do, again, with data. The ability to have data available, analyze it, and to digitally deliver products is opening up a whole bunch of new opportunities. If you ask me, I think banking industry is going to go through a dramatic change over the next few years. I read several articles where bankers are concerned about fintechs. I think bankers should be concerned about fintechs if they are not willing to change.
Concerned as in a negative light.
In a negative light, if bankers don't want to change and they want to continue doing the banking the way it used to be. Progressive banks who are looking and always hungry for change, for them, fintechs are just fantastic partners. The advantages of fintechs are you can give better customer experience, you can reach out to customers better, you can give better products, you can cut down your costs. Just Ibrahim, just to let you know, that only about 5% of our transactions are happening inside the branch. 95% of transactions are outside the branch, 95 to 92%. And now what this is also doing is we are also reducing the number of branches. We have cut down the branches by almost about 10% across ASEAN. The future is going to be customers being able to serve outside the branch. We serve the customers at the customer's handsets rather than customers coming and waiting inside our branches. So we are having more offloading of transactions. Today, loans can be delivered we have digital sales enablement, which is happening, which is almost about, just give us 3 fields of your information and we give you a loan being approved. We are looking to do straight-through processing for cards and personal loans. We are also going to be launching a new mobile banking platform by end of the year, which is going to be a completely game-changer.
You're taking the channel distribution away from the need to have human intervention and so on. This also makes a lot of jobs redundant. What is your comment on these jobs being let go? VSS was happening quite significantly for CIMB and RHB and Maybank. Basically, the industry, just generally speaking. How are you going to look at these redundant staff in the age of the digital?
I think what's going to happen is that many of the staff will have to be reshaped into new forms of contribution for the company. So the objective is more towards better customer experience, better lower costs, better productivity. So what you're going to find is that branches, the shape and form is going to change. We will have the staff inside the branches becoming more sales and service oriented rather than your traditional
operations
and tellers. Mm-hmm. And we are finding fewer and fewer customers coming into the branches. What we will be looking to do is to move more and more investments into the IT and digital fields so that we can serve the customers even without them coming to the branch. Today, the customers are required to come to the branch largely for the first time when they open an account. After that, we can serve you pretty much using our Clicks platform from your mobile phone. Now, if facial recognition or any biometric tools are allowed by the KYC, then we won't even need the customer to come to the branch per se. So we will see more and more serving the customers with fewer branches, but with more digital leveraging. And that is something that's going to happen across ASEAN.
I've been speaking to Samir Gupta, the CEO of Consumer Bank CIMB Group. He was on the Breakfast Grill this morning. Thanks for coming on the show, Samir.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
I am Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.